Good morning. If you'd go ahead and open your Bible to Leviticus 26, we'll begin there in just a few moments. This morning I titled the lesson, Disobedience Breaks the Covenant. It is such a privilege to be in Jesus. It should make us so thankful, knowing that Jesus stands between us and our sins. He's the only one. And because He stands between us and our sins in the presence of God, He's also the guarantee before God of a covenant that God made with each one of us when we entered Christ. A covenant's a binding agreement. God took it upon Himself. Jesus' blood sealed it. And now you and I, because of that, can stand before God with Jesus there, and He guarantees, your sins and your lawless deeds I remember no more. Every one. Knowing that should stir our hearts to have a much greater respect for our God. It should stir every one of us to love Him more than anything else. Because of that, it should create a deep desire to live for Him, to walk with Him, and to want to worship Him. That's what the covenant should mean. And I pray it means that to us. But I want you to show you something. A covenant that God guarantees, God doesn't break. We'll break it. Not God. God's faithful. God won't lie. God won't cheat you. But when we go back to Leviticus 26, and we're going to look here at a few verses, I want to show you, this is how God feels about His people when they break His covenant. He had a different covenant with these people back here under the Old Testament. And they broke it. Brothers and sisters, what I want you to see, it's not a free ride. If it's not leading us to obeying and hearing and walking and responding, that's a covenant breaker. Look at verse, if you would, with me. I want to begin in verse 9 and just read through verse 12 for just a moment. And he says in Leviticus 26:9, "So I will turn toward you and make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will confirm my covenant with you. You will eat the old supply and clear out the old because of the new." Verse 11, "Moreover, I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul will not reject you. I will also walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people." That's the covenant. Can you imagine God? "I'm going to dwell among you. You know, my soul's not going to reject you. No, you're going to be my God. I'm going to walk among you. You're going to be my people. I'll be your God." But look down at verse 14. "But if you do not obey me and do not carry out these commandments, if instead you reject my statutes, and if your soul abhors my ordinances, so as not to carry out all my commandments, and so break my covenant." Let's stop just a second. To reject, to not listen to the commandments of the Lord, that breaks the covenant. We need to know that. He said, to not carry out my commandments, to abhor in your soul my ordinances, where I don't want I don't want to follow what he wants to do. That breaks my covenant, God said. See, you and I can do it. And so now, there is a problem. And it's not God wanting it. It's because God's people have taken a wrong attitude, or they have wrong desires or selfish desires. Verse 16. He says, I in turn will do this to you. I will appoint over you a sudden terror, consumption, and fever that will waste away the eyes and cause the soul to pine away. Also, you will sow your seed uselessly, for your enemies will eat it up. Brethren, any time under the old covenant or the new covenant we're under, any time you choose not to follow and listen to the word of the Lord, you will break a covenant because you are challenging God, and God will respond. To these back under this covenant, God says, I will appoint it. I will do this to you. And there's going to be this sudden terror. There's going to be this consumption. Consumption, that's lung diseases. And he said, I can do these things to you in verse 16 that would cause your soul to pine away. I can reach as God all the way down to the very fiber of who you are, to your soul, and I can cause the pain not just in your body, I can cause it in your soul. Because you're my people. But you break my covenant. And then he talks as the sowing seed uselessly, your enemies will eat it up. You know what? God can make for his people their life much more difficult. He can. Look at verse 17. I will set my face against you. I've set my face against you, excuse me, so that you will be struck down before your enemies, and those who hate you will rule over you, and you will flee when no one is pursuing you. You ever had a thought of feeling somebody's watching you? Isn't that eerie feeling? You know what? I can make you, God says, I can make you so fearful. You're always watching behind your back. But he said, you know, I'm going to let those who hate you rule over you. I'm going to give your worst enemies the right to be over you. How do you like that one? And not only that, it's all because he says in verse 17, I will set my face against you. When God sets his face against someone, you can plan all you want to plan. You can try to accomplish all you want to accomplish. But it's not going to work. If God sets his face against you. And why would he do that? Because you break my covenant by disobeying me. It's that serious. God doesn't want to punish. God brought people under a covenant. He brought you and I under a covenant. Not to destroy us. Last few weeks I've been trying to preach, God's not destined us for wrath. That's not his appointment. But what is God going to do with his people when his people don't want to follow his ways? They don't want to listen to his word. They don't want to do his things. What is he going to do? He said, I'll set my face against you. You know, Peter refers to this idea in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, where he says, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ear attends to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. He's talking to the people of God under his covenant. The face of the Lord is against. You don't want the face of God to be set against you. He says, and continue on, look down in verse 18. If also after these things you do not obey me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. I will also break down your pride of power. I will also make your sky like iron and your earth like bronze. Huh. I can make life real difficult for you if you want me to. I mean, to think that I'll punish you seven times more. And notice he says, I'll break down your pride of power. You know why? Do you really want to know why people will not listen to the Word of God? Do you know why people don't follow the Word of God? Pride. Because they don't want to be told what to do. We want, many times in Christ Jesus, we want all of the blessings, and we want eternal life, and we want all of those things, and we will talk, oh, God loves us, and God's gracious, and He's merciful, and He is all of those things. But God does not tolerate people that are disobedient to His Word, that will not follow in His ways, and pride is what keeps people from doing it. You don't want to listen to the Lord? You don't want to do it His way? Well, I think the Lord loves everybody. Where do you get that? These people under this covenant, He's letting them know, I'm going to break down your pride. And I can make the sky like iron, the earth like bronze. In other words, what do you think droughts are for? I can make it real tough in man's environment if you want me to. And especially on my people, the people that I want to bless. Well, he continues on, verse 20. Your strength will be spent uselessly, for your land will not yield its produce, and the trees of the land will not yield their fruit. You know, how much is it to work hard and have little return? Yeah, Lord says, I can let you work like a dog to try to make ends meet. Yeah, I can do it. You can work long hours. You can put a lot of labor in, and you end up with little. Yeah, I'm your God. I can do that. It's because you do not obey me. You don't listen to my word. You're not concerned about carrying out my desires, my statutes. Continue on, verse 20, 21. If then you act with hostility against me and are unwilling to obey me, I will increase the plague on you seven times according to your sins. I will let loose among you the beasts of the field, which will bereave your children and destroy your cattle and reduce your number so that your roads lie deserted. Wow. You know why people won't follow the Word of God and the will of God? Because they're hostile. They don't want God taking away what they want to do. And so you stay hostile in mind, I'll increase plagues on you. I can do it. I will do it. It's because you broke my covenant. I intend to do what I'm going to do. I intend to keep everything I'm going to keep. And he says in verse 22, talking about letting loose the beasts of the field and things, how would you like to know that your children's lives were taken and you knew your disobedience, Lord? How would you like to go through life thinking, my children's lives were cost because I wouldn't listen to God? Well, God can't do that. I'm going to do it because each step of the way He's been telling them, I'm going to do this to you. I'm going to do that. I want you to turn back. I want you under my covenant. I still want to make that binding agreement. I'm going to keep it. But you keep acting hostile toward me. You won't listen. You won't do what I ask you to do. Then I've got to increase it. And each step of the way, and you're more stubborn and you're more prideful and you won't listen, I got to increase it, increase it, increase it. And now it's gotten all the way to the point that it takes your children's lives because you're stubborn. Oh, let me ask you this real quick. You think it'd be a blessing? Is it a blessing to listen to the Lord and do it His way? Oh, there's a lot of blessings to it. Continue on, look at verse 23. And he said, if it's by these things you're not turned to me, but act with hostility against me, then I will act with hostility against you, and I will strike you seven more times for your sins. It's getting worse. Verse 25. I will also bring upon you a sword which will execute vengeance for the covenant. Did you get that one? I'm going to bring on you a sword. You know, Old Testament especially, when we see that term sword, that's war. I'm going to bring on you war. And that war is going to do one thing. It's going to execute vengeance because of my covenant. You're a covenant breaker. And in middle of verse 25, and when you gather together in your cities, I will send pestilence among you so that you will be delivered in the hands of your enemies. Oh, you can see when war comes, people try to band together, try to get strong. Well, you know what? I will send pestilence to you then. There's going to be plagues. There's going to be outbreaks of things in your health and things. And you know, your enemies are going to take you. Continue on. Verse 26. When I break your staff of bread, 10 women will bake your bread in one oven, and they will bring back your bread in rationed amounts so that you will eat and not be satisfied. We're going to cut out the supply. That droughts and stuff have an effect. You've got all these people baking, and all you can do is come up with a small portion. That's for me, God says. You're disobedient to my word. You're not listening to my voice. You got everything else going on in your life where you're calling me your God, but it isn't so because you're not under the covenant. You broke it. Continue on, verse 27. Yet if in spite of this you do not obey me, but act with hostility against me, then I will act with wrathful hostility against you. And I, even I, will punish you 7 times for your sins. Have you noticed through here, each step gets harder and worse? Sometimes people in Christ Jesus that are disobedient, and they know they're disobedient, but they can't understand why their lives are a mess. They can't understand why they can't figure things out, why things are such a drudgery. Well, how do you feel about the covenant? What are you doing with the covenant that Jesus Christ brought you and me under? And to think, in all of this, God's not trying to punish them because He's trying to say, I'm this wrathful God that I want to take all of you down. That's not what He's saying. He's saying, I want to bring you back under my covenant. I made a covenant deal with you, and I want to keep that covenant. But you keep disobeying, and you keep breaking it. I have to do things to try to get your heart to turn, to break down your pride, to get you to listen. Listen, I don't want to destroy you. I'm giving you opportunities. That's why He brings problems in lives when people are off track. Because He's trying to get their attention to get them back. Well, knowing that, come over if you would with me to Matthew chapter 23. Let's make an application of all of this. Matthew chapter 23. One of the things that we do is that we don't realize that that is the same God that we read back there that we have in the new covenant. God hasn't changed His mind. God hasn't tempered a little bit and said, well, you know, as the ages have passed by, I've gotten a little more meeker and a little more milder, you know, like we as humans do when a lot of times as we age. No, God's still the same. He works off of holiness. He works off of His promises. He works off of righteousness. He works off of justice every time. He hasn't changed. He's just brought about a new covenant through Jesus. Well, while Jesus is on earth, look down at verse 37. Look what He says. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. Now, I want you to know, Jesus is looking over Jerusalem. You know what Jerusalem represented before the death of Jesus? That was the place. That was the dwelling of the temple of God where God dwelt among His people. That represented everything to God. And now here's Jesus. He's been walking among God's people under that old covenant. No one is listening. Very few are listening. They don't want to hear His word. They much less don't want to respond to it. Don't let me do any of that. And now Jesus, He's getting ready to face a cross, and He's looking over Jerusalem. and the prophets that have been sent to you, you stone them. You kill them. Because you're hostile toward God. And then he goes on to say in the middle of verse 37, he says, how often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Do you see the tenderness of Jesus? I wanted to gather your children. Jerusalem! Just like a chick gathers her babies, these baby chicks under her wings to protect, to keep warm, to help. But you know what I can't do? I can't do that to you because you're unwilling. You don't listen to me. My word has no place. And it's the same thing with preachers today. What do you think my role is? To preach the Word of God. 20 years, you know, of being here. 20 years of been doing this. And I think you know what you're going to get when I preach and teach. After 20 years, I think you're going to know, you've known. But I try with all my best. And even though the imperfections of a man, and even though the weaknesses of a man, the Word of God is still there. It's still right. He still speaks. It's not about the man. It's about the Almighty Father and the Son who stands between us and our sins. And He speaks to us. When we worship God, there needs to be a response from God's people. Or it breaks the covenant. And you can hear it through the heart of Jesus. Look at verse 38. He says, behold, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You're not going to see me again. And there will be no relationship between me and you until you can recognize who I am. And as a result, the city that God's name, where it dwelt, where their worship took place, is about to be destroyed. Because you reject my word. And I've tried to send my prophets. And it's going down. Just like olden times. See, there's nothing changed. God's the same way. You and I need to be aware of that. You and I need to listen. And learn to be obedient to the voice of God. Come over, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And what we see right quick here, the difference between us in Christ Jesus and those under that old covenant. Hebrews chapter 9. Look at verse 24. He said, for Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. You know what Jesus did when he returned, when he died and returned to the Father? I'm appearing in the presence of God for us. The people back here, the people all the way to today. I am your stand-in. I'm your go-between. I'm your mediator. I'm the one who guarantees the covenant that God made with you. I didn't go enter a copy. I went into heaven itself to appear in the presence of God for us. Verse 25. Nor was it that he would offer himself often as the high priest enters the holy place year by year with blood that's not his own. Otherwise, he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now once at the consummation of the ages, he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Jesus was manifested before the world. I am your sacrifice. I will put away your sin. All of your sins. And I'll mediate that to God because you are now under God's covenant. And then he goes to say, verse 27, and inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly await him. Just as it is a guarantee that you have been appointed to die, the same guarantee that Christ offered himself to bear the sins of many, and he is coming back, and he's coming back with no reference to sin, but to those who eagerly await for him for their salvation. Because you see, salvation means something to those who wait for Jesus. Salvation means everything to those who know that he died for their sins, who know that he stands between them and God. I love this term. I love this term. Jesus is our sin bearer. I don't know why that strikes me, but it's not just a name. He's not just a ritual. He's not religion. He is my sin bearer that stands and guarantees that God said, your sins and your lawless deeds I will remember no more. Oh, now you want to be disobedient? You don't want to hear the Word of God? You don't want to pay attention and heed? What happens if you break that covenant? Where does it leave us? I don't want to listen to the Word of God. Worship is boring. I don't want to heed the Word of God. I want to live daily the way I want to live. I want to go out there and party, and I want to lose my soul. That's what I'm wanting to say about the covenant of God, and that's what we do. And yet we turn right around and we act like God's going to bring us all in and just coddle us and say, oh, it's okay. It's not okay to treat God with disrespect, to treat God with irreverence, to treat God with a non-caring, I don't care, and I have to go to church. There is something wrong within the soul of that person. And they can forfeit the covenant. Well, that leads us to this. Come over to 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to close right here. 1 John 2:1. Disobedience breaks the covenant. Are you ever disobedient? Well, if disobedience breaks the covenant and I've been disobedient, guess what I've done? Wait just a second. Maybe not. Wait a second. There is a difference between pride and an attitude toward the Word of the Lord and someone who stumbles. There is a difference. There is a difference to that sincere, penitent heart that wants to worship God and wants to adore God, and the one who says, yeah, let's get it over with, let's be done. One's disobedient. Here's where the other comes in, which would be those that are sincere. Chapter 2, verse 1. He says, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. What should be our goal? Should our goal be a goal of not to sin? You know, sometimes I look at me. Sometimes maybe you look at you. How hard do you fight not to sin? How hard do you fight? John said, I'm writing these things that you may not sin. The Apostle John knows something, and so does my Lord. Look at the rest of verse 1. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. If anyone sins unintentionally, it's one thing to know this is wrong, and I don't care and going to do it. That's rebellion. Sometimes in situations we get caught, we're weak, we struggle, and all of a sudden we stumble and we fall on our face and we feel badly for what we've done. And we look around and we say, oh, what has gone on? I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry I did that. If you're repentant, if the heart is in the right place, guess what you know you have? You have an advocate. You have a stand-in. You have a go-between. You have someone standing beside you. Jesus Christ, the righteous sin-bearer. He is an advocate with the Father to say, please, we'll keep this covenant intact. Oh, hallelujah. Boy, is that good news? Wow. And He'll stand good for it. And He's righteous to do it. And He knows you and I get heartbroken sometimes. And He knows that we're ashamed sometimes of what we've done. And He goes to God. And you can call on Him. I'm calling on you, my sin bearer and the mediator of the covenant that God made with me the day I entered you. And He'll mediate it and guarantee it. Verse 2. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. The problem, the whole world doesn't recognize Him as a propitiation. But you know who He is for me and for you? Because of the covenant? He Himself is the propitiation. He Himself is the one that will satisfy the demands of God of sin. He will completely go to God and allow God to cleanse you because of His sacrifice. I had an individual tell me one time, they said, I know Jesus loves me, but I don't need to read the Bible anymore because I accept His love. I don't need to read the Bible. I don't need God's direction. I don't need God's truth. I don't need God's teaching. I don't need God's statutes. I don't need God's ordinances. Is that what we're saying? I don't need to read the Bible anymore. I know He loves me. If you know He loves you, you better be reading your Bible. Because you can't come to know Him without it. And you can't come to know what's right and what's wrong in the eyes of God without it. If we're going to ignore the ordinances and commands of the Lord, that's rebellion. And people are going to be lost because they rebel against God and they break the covenant. Let's don't be covenant breakers. We got everything to gain, and we got even more to lose. Jesus stands good for you. The question is, do you love that covenant? Are you listening and heeding? How does it stir you? Does it excite you? Isn't it wonderful that we have such a Savior? Jesus Christ, the righteous.